Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Woods, I want to commend you. Handled the first hour well. Some subtle changes here on Ben and Woods in 2025.
Yeah.
You've brought some new bumper music into the fold. We had our Wednesday opens, now going to be our daily open going forward. And we've made a few changes to some of our regular segments and when you will hear them, including Take on Woods, which is going to be back. Used to be at 7:10, but with the subtle changes we've made, it just doesn't work there anymore. So you're going to hear Take on Woods every morning at 8:20 now. And my apologies to everybody who was like, oh no, it has to be at 7:10.
Sorry.
It's hopefully still going to be able to be a part of your day. We'd love to get to, you know, some of our great regular contestants. Maybe we'll get some new contestants as well. We've got prizes back, including two nights stay in Las Vegas again, coming up and Take on Woods here in January. But 8:20 will be the new home of one of our longest-running games that we've had on the show.
Had quite the blowout at the Christmas and holiday extravaganza. I'd like to apologize for my behavior during said.
Congratulations on your grand championship win.
I don't know that I've ever been more nervous on the radio. I mean, you really did a great job with that.
It was fun.
Me against John Flint, and it was epic.
John took a good commanding lead early.
Yeah, he did.
And
I was
Woods
sick.
Came storming back.
My wife was there. My kids were there. And I was like, I cannot lose in front of my family. If my game, it's got my name in it. You know, it'd be like John Baseball losing a baseball game to someone.
Having Bobby Cressy playing the music.
So epic.
Took it to the next level. Bobby did a great job as well. I want to thank him for his contributions. The other subtle change, our Rinder Report segment, which used to be usually in our 9 o'clock segment, will now be in our final segment at 9:35 every morning, a way for us to wrap up the show with the stuff we didn't get to and just stuff to kind of chew on at the end of the program.
Paulie, do you feel like we've both been demoted?
Yeah.
Take on Woods back an hour, Rhino Report back half an hour.
Yep.
Who
just
made this decision?
Leave some more room for somebody to pontificate.
To pontificate,
exactly.
And get on your soapbox and read
what
tea leaves.
What people really want to hear, Ben pontificating will now be a much larger part of the program going forward. We will have Sammy Levitt joining us this morning. Obviously, not to break down all the Padres moves over the last 2 weeks. We
this
want to
guy.
Talk to Sam about his
We're going to do this every year. When
this
we come
cultural
back.
Phenomenon that now exists that he is, the creator of and a major part of our lives every new year.
Oh, and he's got mad haters too. Mad haters. I DM'd a guy over the break, and I go, "Shut your mouth, Sammy's a god," and I'll read it later.
I saw somebody sent me a TikTok. My wife showed me this TikTok. There were hundreds of thousands of likes and views and all that. And she was just ripping on Sammy because that's the only voice anybody heard for 3 or 4 days.
Sammy.
There right around New Year's. And I'm like, hey, that's my friend.
That's our guy.
Listen here, lady. That's my friend.
He, like you said, he's a cultural phenomenon. I want to ask him about the whole process of leading up to it, like, oh God, here I got to do it again. And now with that, you know, like doing his whole bit and how much he's got to make some money off that, a ton, I would imagine.
I don't know.
TikTok
I'm gonna
and stuff?
I'd like to ask him, has he monetized the end of the 2024 season?
You think he'll give us a number? I want a number.
I want a number too.
I think somebody just ripped his voice.
They just ripped
it. Nothing for
him? Like, at all? Like, I don't know much about TikTok, but I know that if somebody comes up with a sound, like they put Sammy's voice on top of some music and they make it sound cool for a video, you can save, you can like just pull that sound and just repost your content with it. So I don't know that he's making any money off of that.
I mean, well, whatever it's.
I have questions.
He's done a really good job. I mean, I was watching a little bit of his live stream on New Year's Eve. He had people like from India asking him to play songs and stuff. Somebody from India asked him to play Wonderwall because he was just playing songs for people. It was really a special. Now he was into it too, bouncing around, like talking to people. He works hard, man, and this is a cool thing for him. So yeah, we'll talk to him at 8:35.
All right, there were some other baseball moves that were made during our 2-week break. You know, guys signing, including Walker Buehler, Paul Goldschmidt, Sean Manaea went back to the Mets, Jock Peterson to the Rangers, Teoscar Hernandez returns to the Dodgers. I thought by far, though, the biggest and most surprising move of the offseason was when the Arizona Diamondbacks signed Corbin Burnes to a 6-year, $210 million deal. He's got an opt-out after two seasons. But Arizona, I mean, after falling back a little bit, their surprise 2023, 2024, they missed the playoffs. They are they're ready to try to take a step forward again in 2025.
Our whole division, outside of the Rockies, is just, it's absurd. The Giants have made moves. They've added Willy Adames. They've added some other pieces as well. The Dodgers continue to add people. They added Ha-Sung Kim over the weekend. And, you know, I was looking at, look, he's one of those guys. I thought about when they added Kim. And again, they clearly know what they're doing. They're a good organization. But I thought, all right, so Gavin Lux is on the block. He's out. Like, there's no way you're going to roll into the season. You're not going to spend that much money for late-inning defensive replacement in Ha-Sung Kim. They have committed to Mookie Betts at short. They've committed to Tommy Edman in center for now, and which means Teoscar is going to play right. Who is their left fielder?
The left fielder is going to be for the Dodgers.
I can't remember. There's just so many moving parts with them. They did end up designating for assignment, though. This is the guy I wanted to talk about, Diego Cartaya. He was their number one prospect for a couple of years. And look, I think your initial reaction is you go, oh boy, there's a former number one prospect out there. You need a catcher, might be worth taking a flyer on. But am I the only one that thought, oh God, like, I don't want that to be the path of our own beloved Ethan Salas a couple of years down the road? The pressure is immense being a top prospect. It's really hard to hit. That was Diego's problem, was I think with the bat.
I read that his swing got long and they just weren't able to fix it.
Can't get it back.
Someone's going to take a flyer on him.
Somebody's going to take a flyer on him. But yeah, man, so like they end up signing him, they've added a ton of pieces. They're going to be formidable as they always are. But the division, Ben, is just going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants went out, obviously signed Willy Adames. Yep. That was before our break. But the pitching staff's on the top three now. The Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres are pretty insane. And, I mean, you say, are the Padres as deep as the Dodgers and Diamondbacks at this point? Probably not, but they came out with the National League Cy Young odds, and the Padres have two of the top eight Cy Young contenders in Michael King and Dylan Cease going into 2025. That's a really good place to start your rotation with two of the eight best pitchers in the National League going into the year, and that doesn't even include Yu Darvish. So it's not as though the Padres are completely, you know, with an empty cupboard going into the 2025 season pitching-wise either, but you're going to have weeks. Like, if you have to face the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, you know, three out of four series, you're going to just be facing ace after ace after ace pitcher, and there's not going to be much let up in this National League West.
It's Conforto in left.
Right.
They added him as well. So it's
he may end up being a platoon player, obviously, at this point.
And they got Andy Páez as well. They've got, I mean, look, they're pretty deep. I really don't know what else they need in LA. But I heard that they're maybe looking for a third baseman. Maybe a Nolan Arenado makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. But when they're getting rid of guys like their former top prospect, for, and they're not even putting him in a trade, you know, it kind of makes you think what's going on. So I'm... You want to be the best, you got to beat the best, certainly. But our division is the class of baseball, period. I mean, the super, it's just filled with superstars, man, up and down most of these rosters.
I know he had a really great 2024 season, but I got to think that the $75 million for Sean Manaea is the biggest overpay of the offseason. I don't know that I trust that he's going to take that money and, you know, dig to the next level after, you know, the experience with the Padres season. But he certainly was really good for the Mets last year, and I can understand why they wanted to keep him.
He really was, and you saw the market for starting pitching this year. It's insane. And, I, you know, you look at it, and again, people in the chat saying, don't let the Padres tell you they can't spend any money. I'm not. I think they should. I think they should go, you know, the way that this entire country operates is money's not real. Just go into debt and you'll figure it out later. But we're not going to be able to defer contracts. They're not going to sign off on that. If we wanted to today, who's the best remaining free agent on the market? Whoever it is, if the Padres wanted to go out and defer 90% of the contract, MLB is going to say no. Because they look at it and they go, you don't have the financial flexibility of some other teams around. So they're not going to allow... going to allow us to do that. And again, you have to find the player that's willing to do that as well.
All right. Meanwhile, going all the way back to our last show, it wasn't that long after we were off the air that Major League Baseball lost an absolute titan. The only player that I've ever seen get their 3,000th hit in person.
Oh, that's pretty.
You know, and it wasn't Tony Gwynn. His happened in Montreal. I wasn't there for that, but it was Tony Gwynn's last game. Also happened to be the 3,000th hit. For Ricky Henderson, a little blooper down the line in the first inning at Qualcomm Stadium back in 2001. And while Ricky was not in his prime when he was with the Padres, he was so, so fun to watch and so fun to have on your team. And was such a dynamic, incredible Major League Baseball player. And I was shocked when I saw the news that day. Woods, you know, didn't hear anything that was wrong with Ricky, and all of a sudden he was just gone, way too young. And it was such
like actually passed away that Friday, the day of the extravaganza, later that night, and all of the news came out Saturday morning. I remember I was driving around and I got a notification. Oh my God,
yeah, it made
65.
Me sick. I became a baseball fan in 1985 when my mom married my dad, and he was a Yankee fan, so I was a Yankee fan, and Ricky Henderson was my very first leadoff hitter that I ever fell in love with, and I never saw anything like him. I remember being devastated when he left and went to the A's. I loved him. Our own Tony Gwynn Jr. had a personal relationship. I was following along with his stories, reading his stories about Ricky. You hear all the funny stories about Ricky Henderson over the years, but the things that you don't hear that you probably should, apparently one of, if not the, most generous human beings on the planet, just would take care of everyone. They showed a video of him playing. It was him, Dave Parker, and a couple other dudes playing dominoes. I watched it 10 times. I was crying laughing. One of the funniest. Didn't mean to be funny, you know, unintentionally funny. But when you think about the game that that guy brought to it, his defense, and people, you know, people love to harken back to the old days. And they say, guys back then, they just put their head down. Bro, the first guy I ever saw camp under a fly ball and whip his glove through it was Ricky Henderson. And I went, how does he do it? Like, he camped under, and all the flair, all the style, all the panache, he had all of it. And we're talking about 1985 when so many boomers say, oh, they didn't used to do it like that. That guy was all flash, man, and substance, obviously.
Tony Gwynn laughed a lot, but no one could make him laugh like Ricky Henderson could make him laugh. And Ricky loved baseball. I mean,
loved
even
it.
After his career, he went and played for the Surf Dogs, you know, for Terry Kennedy, just because didn't want to give up the game. Just loved it that much, and was a massive loss to the sports world. So, as we like to do here on Ben and Woods, Paulie, if you will.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
And I don't want to shortchange Greg Gumbel as well, who passed away at the age of 78. I never met him, but everyone said just the nicest, kindest guy. Tremendous broadcaster as well. Did so many sports, hosting. Certainly someone to emulate if you're someone like me in this business.
And
that
not
was
me,
a,
though.
That was a sad loss as well.
That was
you're
sad.
Not really the Greg Gumbel type. I'm more the Greg Gumbel type.
You'd have a high opinion of yourself.
I do.
I'm more like Greg Gumbel. You said that.
All right. I told you about the changes and different times for different segments. Don't Do This is going to remain, though, in its normal slot coming up next.
What a fun one that we were all treated to yesterday. Fox Sports in, I wouldn't even say a little bit of hot water. I would say in a lot of hot water.
I certainly am never cheering for sexual harassment.
No.
There's certainly people that you don't...
You suspect.
Yeah.
You suspect that, is this... Could this be? And boy, these reports that came out yesterday are staggering. If you haven't heard them yet, we will get to those.
First, though, Woods.
Stop letting high interest debt weigh you down. Pay it all off in days thanks to Loan Pronto's new Rapid Equity Loan. If you're a homeowner right now, there's a completely hassle-free way to cash out your home's equity. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. Loan Pronto uses AI-driven technology to get you approved for cash out in as little as a day. One client got $100,000 approved in under 24 hours, wiped out their debt, launched the home improvement project, now saving over $1,000 a month. Instant approvals, low fixed rates, fast transfers. Get cash to consolidate all your debt. Get a fresh start for the new year. Call Loan Pronto now. See how much you qualify for. This time next week, you can be credit card debt-free. Start 2025 off with a nice, clean balance sheet. Don't wait. Get your cash fast. 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781 on approved credit, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Back with Don't Do This next on Ben and Woods.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Back for another year in 2025. It is Don't Do This, but comes with a new sponsor. Don't Do This brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to change if you and when you die. Do set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Woodsy, get us started in the new year.
That was a big one yesterday, right in the middle of all the football action. Some news broke that Fox Sports, several prominent on-air personalities, and an executive have all been named defendants in a wide-ranging workplace misconduct lawsuit filed right here in California, brought around by Nooshin Faraji, who worked at the company for over a decade. And the allegations are severe really as you can have. I mean, not limited to Skip Bayless offering her $1.5 million for sex.
That's a bad look.
It's a very
in many ways actually
bad look. She was so creeped out, again allegedly, by his behavior that she said that she, I have ovarian cancer, so I'm not interested in anything with you, Skip. I'm just happy to be friends with you. He said that he fantasizes about having sex with her and asked how much money it would take, and offered $1.5 million. There were some racist remarks made as well. Then there's the Joy Taylor allegations as well. Joy Taylor has been on a couple different shows. She was on the show with Colin Cowherd. She worked with Emmanuel Acho as well. And this one, it's about as salacious as it gets.
So Colin Cowherd, Undisputed, and Speak for Yourself.
Yep, and essentially outlining the ways in which she used her abilities to advance up through the corporate ladder and continue to get hosting jobs. Basically telling Faraji, like, yeah, I mean, this is how I'm doing it, and this is working for me. There was the gentleman there that worked at Fox News. He was the executive, last name Dixon. Ben, Charlie Dixon. He says he's alleged to have sexually harassed many, many women there, fired them if they would not sleep with him. I mean, it is as salacious and gnarly as it gets. Joy Taylor's fiance was paid off once he found out about some of the infidelities that was going on by Mr. Dixon as well, because he was having a relationship with Joy Taylor. I mean, it goes on and on. There's drugs involved. It's unbelievable to read. And it's weird too, because Skip Bayless yesterday, I think everybody's natural reaction is, all right, is he going to respond? He was just tweeting through it, just tweeting football stuff, just tweeting through it. Emmanuel Acho, who tweets a lot, didn't say a word for about 8 hours. I still don't think he's gone to address any of this yet. So it is, it's about as gnarly as it gets for Fox Sports right now.
All right, story number two. Let's talk a little bit about 4-H. Was not expecting to hit that, but this story came out of Texas. Woods, you know Texas well.
I do.
This story is about Aubrey Van Landingham, a Texas teenager who's been charged with animal cruelty. Ooh. After police say she poisoned another student's show goat. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how 4-H works. Did you know any 4-Hers back in school?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't run in the 4-H circles.
Club?
Yeah, I didn't run, but there were certainly...
I certainly, around here, you know, you'd raise your animal and then you bring them to the Del Mar Fair.
Yeah.
And you'd try to win a ribbon. And I never understood how that really worked, but there's like... Like, people, like, competed. This was like...
Oh, it's competition.
It was competition, and you wanted your goat or your pig or sheep to be better than the other kid's sheep. So you could get the blue ribbon instead of like the red ribbon or something. And I really don't know. How do they decide like whose goat is better than someone else's goat? All I know, though, is...
The talent portion of it.
You shouldn't...
They do the juggling, unicycle, and then they do swimsuit.
The swimsuit.
The swimsuit competition. You know, they say you can't put lipstick on a pig, but at 4-H you actually can. And it's encouraged. So what did she do to this poor goat?
Police say they saw security footage of her giving a toxic pesticide to a classmate's goat using a drench gun, which is a tool generally used to administer medicine to goats and other farm animals. Prosecutors say the goat, named Willie, died about a day after he was given the poison, experiencing symptoms like convulsions and respiratory distress before ultimately passing away. They allege Van Lanningham did intentionally and knowingly torture a livestock animal.
To win a ribbon.
Well, she said that she admitted this was her second attempt. She claimed the animal's owner's daughter was a, quote, cheater. And she searched for information on her phone about lethal poisons for animals, also how to clear her search history. She was released on $5,000 bond. The Texas FFA Association says Texas FFA does not condone any behavior that compromises ethical standards, animal welfare, or the integrity of its programs.
Facing 2 years in prison?
Yes.
In prison?
Animal cruelty.
Poison the goat. To win my 4-H competition. What part of Texas does it say?
Texas. Just Texas in general. Austin.
In Austin.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it's, look, anytime there's competition, you're going to have people that want to win. And there you're going to have people that want to do anything to win. And this was... This reminds me of those fishermen. Remember the fishermen guys that were weighting down their bass and stuff? The goat sound always makes me laugh. There's a field that we play adult baseball on. It's Escondido High. And you'll be playing there, and they have this farm out in the back. And you'll be like at the plate, digging in. Like, here we go. All right, look fastball. Here we go. And you hear it. And sometimes it sounds like they're actually being slaughtered out there. Like, it gets really loud. It's very distracting. Yeah. That's what you hear.
Sometimes when you're playing golf at Encinitas Ranch, there's a house that has some barnyard goats. Animals, and you get that in your backswing.
Give me the heater. It's killed me. I laugh every single time. So, I don't think she should go to prison, honestly, but some nice community service would probably do the trick.
She should go to prison. She poisoned an animal and killed it.
I mean,
if it was somebody's dog.
Farm animals are oftentimes raised to be
killed.
Slaughtered, unfortunately. But they're not supposed to be like poisoned inhumanely.
I get it. Prison? She's a teenager. Yeah. She's not going to prison for poisoning a goat.
I think you're insane.
Yeah, lock her up, throw away the key, I guess.
Yeah.
2 years.
It's a terrible thing to do.
It is.
Finally, our first doo-doo this of the year.
Yes.
DD mega doo-doo.
And let's go to the NFL for a moment. Obviously, your playoff fields are all set. One of the last teams to make the playoffs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that's not why they made doo-doo this. They made it for wide receiver Mike Evans. And good for the Tampa Bay Bucs in making sure that he would get a chance, at least, to trigger a $3 million bonus for getting over 70 catches and 1,000 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. And it took until the very last throw
so nervous
of the season for him to get there. But they completed the pass with 36 seconds. He needed 5 yards, got
they were
9.
Up big. This was not a passing situation.
No, they weren't up big. It was 9.
It was up 8.
Eight.
They were up 8.
They could have They actually, if Baker had thrown a pick or it got tipped.
I mean, it wasn't a passing situation. That's a
It was
first down. They were running it. They could have run out the clock. But instead they decided, let's see if we can get him the bonus. And a big doo-doo this to the organization. I don't know much about the Glazer family that owns them, but At least there was no directive from on high, like, don't let him get to the $3 million bonus. Because that's coming out of their coffers to pay the guy. But he's been fantastic for seasons and seasons. Jerry Rice's record for most consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards or more at 11. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame, and they did the right thing by getting him those 5 yards. And now they're going to the playoffs with a little good karma, where they'll take on the Washington Commanders in the first
round. Baker Mayfield. Back in the playoffs, where Colin was wrong.
And speaking of the playoffs, it is playoff time with Prize Picks. You can join the game with Prize Picks. I've done it now for the past year, loving my play. I actually won $100 yesterday on a season-long play. Thank you to Josh Allen for not throwing 7 interceptions yesterday. That would have been
the only way
could have lost, and I did not. You can win up to 1,000 times your cash just by picking more or less than at least 2-player player stat projections with Prize Picks. Right now, during the playoffs, you can just check. I mean, this is their last football action for a long time, so football is always a fun way to play Prize Picks every single weekend. Put together a lineup, 2 to 6 players. It's really easy to do. It takes just seconds to set up your lineups, and then when you win, it goes right into your account. You can get easy deposits and withdrawals with MasterCard, Venmo, however you want to do it. And sign up today. Get $50 instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to get the $50 bonus. Just use the code KWFN when you sign up. Get your bonus. Start playing with that free money and figure out how you like to do it. You got basketball as well, hockey, soccer, anything that's going on right now. They've got all kinds of picks with Prize Picks. Flex plays or power plays. You can go for the big wins. Go for the small wins. However you want to do it. Just run your game with Prize Picks. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We'll come back. I don't know that we've ever had someone who has hosted a major award show on the Ben and Woods program, but we actually did.
We did
have the host of last night's Golden Globes on with us before. Talk about that and the San Diego State basketball team, the ups and downs to the Aztecs since we've been gone, all coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Trying to think if what I said going into our break was accurate, that this is the first time that someone who has ever hosted a major awards program has ever been on Ben and Woods. And I was racking my brain. Did Jay Mohr ever host like the Oscars or anything?
Because
obviously we've had him in studio a couple times. I don't think so, though.
I watched him in Jerry Maguire yesterday. He was brilliant.
I watched Jerry Maguire over the break, too.
Did you?
Yeah,
that's
just randomly was on
the weekend.
Probably was on TV a lot and just happened to have it on. And
Kelly Preston. I really liked her a lot.
But, so Nikki Glaser last night was the host of the Golden Globes.
Crushed it.
And we had her on. Polly just checked our records. It was back in April of 2020,
ooh,
right near the start of the pandemic, from the Corona Cave. Remember, Woods?
Yep.
There was no sports, and we were just looking for anybody who wanted to come on and promote comedy shows.
We were definitely using the pandemic to our advantage. Hey, no excuses. Like, you're not working. Nobody's you're just at home hanging out.
They were bored, too.
Yeah.
We had all kinds of people on because they were bored.
Was living in her parents' basement or something temporarily for the pandemic, and yeah, I'd kind of been on her. She's been on my radar for a few years before that. Stand up. She did all the roasts and everything. And
the best,
my God,
the best roaster I've ever heard.
Has her career not just skyrocketed even since April 2020?
Oh, it's been exponentially bigger since then. She's incredible.
So, Paul, you have a little clip of Nikki on with us?
Yeah, we have a up and coming comedian on. So, what does Ben do? Well, makes it about sports.
Oh, no.
I know the concept of a Mount Rushmore.
Oh, my God.
So we do this in sports where you pick your four, like the Mount Rushmore of great basketball players.
Oh, yeah,
who's on your Mount Rushmore of comedians?
Ben, how dare you? I'm
embarrassed. I love that question. Okay, my Mount Rushmore is, oh, God. And this is just like who probably made me who I am in terms of like my, I would put it, Mitch Hedberg for sure.
Genius.
David Spade, to be honest with you, which I don't think a lot of people would see coming, but his specials are like his stand-up comedy is like some of my favorite of all time, and I just he's just one of the funniest. Sarah Silverman, because she was like the first person I was like, whoa, women are like the best at this, that's cool. And then Chappelle, Carlin, like a split of those two. Can we do?
You can do five. If there's no rules in Corona content.
Yeah. Well, now open the phones and have people yell at you about how bad your choices are, and you're doing sports talk radio Mount Rushmore.
That's
it's perfect.
So good.
So usually hosting award shows is one of the toughest gigs you can get. It's hard. You've got a bunch of constraints. You got to keep the show moving. It just generally is one of the hardest things for any host to do. The reviews for Nikki were almost universally positive last night.
Yeah, she was incredible, man.
I only got to watch some of the program, but it seems like she absolutely killed it.
She did. She knocked it out of the park. I watched like the second half. I missed some of the good stuff, but I saw the highlights of some of the funnier jokes about Selena Gomez, Benny Blanco. It was great. And some of my favorite shows of the year won, like Baby Reindeer. Did Disclosure win anything?
I don't think it won anything.
They were nominated for a bunch. It was really.
I think the big winners were
Shogun,
Baby Reindeer, Hacks.
Yep, Hacks was great.
Colin Farrell won for the Penguin. He was great.
Yeah, he looks amazing. Good, doesn't he?
Not in the Penguin.
No, not in the Penguin. But in real life, he looks really, really good. Yeah, I enjoy the Golden Globes. It's a little more low key. And
here's a little bit from Nikki in the beginning.
Right, welcome to the 82nd Golden Globes, Ozempic's biggest night. If you're watching on CBS, hello. If you're on Paramount Plus, you have 6 days left to cancel your free trial. I mean, even Oscar-winning actor Eddie Redmayne did TV this year. He's nominated for Peacock's The Day of the Jackal. Yes? It's about a top-secret elite sniper that no one can find because he's on Peacock. Nicole Kidman is here. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for working so hard. And thank you to Keith Urban for playing guitar around the house so much that she wants to leave and make 18 movies a year. Selena Gomez is here tonight with her new fiancé, Benny Blanco. And Benny Blanco is here because of the genie who granted him that wish. Man, lucky guys. There's been a lot of talk about comebacks, right? Like Pamela Anderson and Demi Moore. And it turns out, if you're a woman over 50 in a lead role, they call it a comeback. If you're a guy over 50 in a lead role, congratulations. You're about to play Sydney Sweeney's boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. She looked fantastic, by the way.
One thing that I did not remember from the Golden Globes was a award for best stand-up comedian. Did you see that last night?
Yeah,
they actually
had stand-up special.
Stand-up special, but I don't remember having seen that in the past. They had Nate Bargatze came and he had presented the award.
I think they've done it for the last few years, but it's a relatively new award.
I feel like that's tough. Comedy is so subjective to try to decide who you think is the funniest and who did the best special.
Well, I mean, so are movies, so are shows. You know, it's all subjective.
I know it's all subjective.
I think Ali Wong won that
she
one.
Won, yeah, she won.
Adam Sandler was nominated. Nikki was nominated for her special.
She got the host actually got nominated.
I saw a tweet over the weekend that laid me out about Nate Bargatze. It said, Nate Bargatze makes comedy for guys who point at their wife and say, I got to ask the boss, which just laid me out. And I started reading through the comments. Now, he's clean. He's a clean. He is, and I started thinking about it. He is legitimately the only clean comic that I have ever found even remotely interesting or funny. Every clip I see of him, it makes me laugh. I think it's the delivery. He just seems so easygoing. I've never liked a clean comic in my life. Never once. He lays me out. But I love that. Yeah. I got to check with
Jerry
the boss.
Seinfeld, no. Jay Leno, anyone like that? No.
Seinfeld was elite.
Never gets me. They never. I mean, I love the show, obviously.
No,
but like,
his stand-up. I mean, he had one in particular that was like 2003, 2004, whatever. I mean, it was every good joke he had ever come up with.
Yeah.
It was all right in that special.
He makes me laugh so much every time. So, yeah. Who won? Ali Wong?
Ali Wong won. Yeah, it was like Jamie Foxx, Adam Sandler, Ali Wong, Seth Meyers, Nikki Glaser. I think were the specials.
Pretty solid.
And the it's really devolved because it used to be I had seen all of the movie nominees. And then I had only seen some of the movie nominees. And then I hadn't seen any of the movie nominees. And now I hadn't even heard of some of the movie nominees. And this year I didn't even know what the winner was that won best movie.
I don't know.
For this last year.
TV is and streaming is really...
The Brutalist. I mean, I never even
heard... Adrian Brody, yeah.
I hadn't even heard of it.
I looked it up last night. Because I'd never heard of it either.
Dude, we have really gone... I mean, there's so many outlets now. There's no way to keep track of everything.
No, I spend the majority of my break searching on the multiple streaming services that I have to find something to watch. Went back to Succession last night after seeing my man Jeremy Strong, who's just the greatest. I went back to Succession last night. I didn't find anything. I watched a lot of documentaries over the break about Led Zeppelin and things like that. I couldn't find anything. I've seen all the ones, most of the ones that got nominated. I need to give Shogun another shot. I did start it. I did fall asleep almost immediately. But that's just who
binged
I am.
The hell out of Squid Game season 2.
How was that?
Season 2.
I never saw the first one.
So, yeah, season 2 wouldn't make any sense
right.
without watching the first one. I thought the first season was better. If the season 2 kind of seemed a little bit unnecessary, but hell of a cliffhanger for the series finale, third season later this year.
I was a little surprised. I checked in with Ben over the break, and he was just pounding through some of these shows that I'd been on him to watch.
Trying to catch up with a little extra time.
What did you watch?
I watched all of Disclosure on your recommendation.
So good.
And I
did
just,
you like it?
I did. It was very good. And I watched Baby Reindeer on your recommendation as
Thoughts
well.
On Baby Reindeer?
That was a tough watch, actually. Yeah. It was a well-done show.
So good.
But it was uncomfortable
Massively.
To watch, which is because the performances were so good.
And once you know that that happened to Richard Gadd, the guy that was starring in it, and you know that every single email he got that he read in that show, he actually got those emails. And those texts or whatever. It just puts a whole different spin on how torturous that must have been for him. And for him to win last night, I thought he gave a really great speech as well. It was incredible.
The girl, she won Best
Supporting Actress.
She,
was she also won Best Actress, I think, at the Emmys, but was Supporting Actress in the Golden Globes. But
Lisa says, imagining Ben watching Baby Reindeer is hilarious.
Yeah.
It is. There's some scenes, the guy, the drug guy. If you haven't seen it, I won't spoil it for you, but holy smokes. I mean, it's about as disturbing as it gets.
Yeah. All right.
Well, dirty for you, I think.
It was, well, so was Disclosure.
Oh, but you liked that one, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry. Pauly did a little basketball watching in person over the break, including seeing a very rare home loss for his San Diego State Aztecs.
Brutal.
Talk about the ups and downs for Brian Dutcher's team right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so a week ago Saturday, Paul, you went to Viejas Arena, and,
yep.
and obviously, you know, you're an Aztec, but you don't get to go to a ton of games. I was watching that game on
the Tuesday 8 o'clock tip-off games.
Yeah,
are tough.
They're tough to get to. I went to one earlier this year, the Gonzaga game. They actually lost that one as well. But this one against Utah State, everything was looking great. I mean, they were up 18 in the first half. Viejas Arena was rocking. It was loud. They were into it. What the heck happened to the Aztecs in the second half of that game?
What happened?
I really wish I could tell you. I mean, they did not close out the first half strong. San Diego State, it's kind of been a trend I'd like to see them change of finishing off the first half on a good note. I think they were up like 13 with 12 seconds to go, and then all of a sudden it was a 9-point lead. Just back-to-back quick baskets, like within 5 seconds, you're like, all right, just get into the half, for the love of God. You had a 14-point lead or whatever it was, and then they just kept chipping away, and Utah State was hanging around, and San Diego State, for whatever reason, it felt like the majority of the second half of that game, they were just running the clock down, the 30-second shot clock, they'd run it down to 28, and look up and go, oh, crap,
chuck
up a prayer, and they did that like 6, 7, 8 times in a row down the court, and everyone is like, guys, what is happening? A little bit better clock management. Get a decent look. Get a good shot off.
I'll say
they
this.
Couldn't do it.
First time I've seen Brian Dutcher kind of roasted on Twitter in, like, you know, you'll see the outlier, you know, of like somebody that doesn't really know what they're talking about. But the first time I've kind of, did he kind of blow the clock management at the end?
So San Diego State was up 2 with 20 seconds left or something like that in the game. Utah State comes down. Runs the clock down to whatever. They shoot a prayer 3-pointer. It goes in. Now Utah State's up by 1.
A guy who was shooting like 15% all season.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I mean, it's not necessarily bad defense. That's the kind of shot you want the other team to take.
For whatever reason, it just kind of felt like as soon as it went up, it was going in. And that left about 7 seconds left on the clock, and San Diego State had a timeout. They inbounds the ball. No called timeout. They dribble down court.
Brian Dutcher tried to call a timeout. No one saw him.
Oh.
He was the refs are supposed to look at the coach.
Can't you be pretty vehement about it?
Dutch was vehement and signaling. No one saw him. They didn't get the timeout.
See, I'm watching Nick Boyd or whoever dribble the ball up court, and I'm thinking, what are they doing? Call a timeout.
Call a timeout.
Call a timeout. Get the ball. Call a timeout. It doesn't have to be Dutcher. It could have been whoever was bringing the ball up.
And Dutch was screaming to get a timeout.
They run into a double team. They chuck up a
three.
Wayne
McKinney shot a three that was short, and they lost. And Dutch said, you know, it would have been nice if someone, they're supposed to look over at me. No one did. I couldn't get the timeout. But, you know, remember in the Final Four, Dutch didn't call a timeout, and they ended up winning the game on a three by Lamont Butler. So it can work both ways. And he wasn't.
Yeah, it's great if it works.
He wasn't whining about it. He did just honestly say, I was trying to get a timeout. No one saw me. And you'd expect with a young team, it's not surprising necessarily to sometimes have those struggles. But then they go out, and in their next game this past Saturday at Boise State, they closed incredibly strong against a really good team. Boise State has dominated San Diego State. No one dominates San Diego State, but Boise has. They've won. They had won six of the past seven meetings against the Aztecs, and Boise State jumped ahead early. And after that, San Diego State just played really strong basketball. Bird had his best game, I think, bar none.
So good.
In an Aztecs uniform. He was hitting his shots.
Those free throws almost killed me, though.
At the end, they missed some free throws that it made it a little nervous.
They missed what,
but
five out of six?
I think they went 3 for 8 on the free throws to ice the game. He's a 94% free throw shooter.
He missed them both.
And he missed three of them late. Which was kind of surprising.
God.
But they did hold on for what was a really good road win in the Mountain West. You know, Boise State is a tough place to play. The Aztecs, no one generally wins there. Taj DeGuerville had a great game.
Massive.
13 points. Another freshman who is very exciting. And as Paulie said, did it without Farrell Compton, who had rolled his ankle in practice. Not sure if he's going to be back for the next game on Wednesday against Air Force. But really important bounce back win, because if you get to two losses, there were already a bunch of teams that are like 3-0 and 4-0. Mm-hmm. New Mexico, Utah State, you're going to be digging out of a big hole if you had lost two. Now, you know, hopefully you get the win at home against Air Force on Wednesday, and you get another tough game on Saturday at the Pit in New Mexico. And they just announced yesterday, no favors for San Diego State. The start time for that game, 10 a.m.
Oh.
Because CBS has it as another national game, but they also have the first AFC playoff game, the Chargers and the Texans at 1:30, so they have to get it done before their pregame show, which means they had to schedule the game for 10 o'clock West Coast time, 11 o'clock New Mexico time, which is no favors for a San Diego-based basketball team to make them play that early in the morning. College kids on that body clock. So,
well, how about San Diego State? It was the day after our last day on the air.
Yeah.
They had like the worst travel.
To get to Cal,
They're trying to get to San Jose to play on, a neutral court, but they're playing Cal. They could not fly out Friday night because of everything going on at the airport and the fog and everything like that. And I was like kind of following along, and then they drove up to Orange County. Flights out of John Wayne got canceled. This is like, now it's Saturday morning.
It's the day of the game.
They
stuck
play
in
at
Orange
like 4:30 p.m., and it's the morning of. They're in Orange County. They drove half the team to Ontario, I think, and were able to get on a flight from Ontario to San Jose. The rest of the team and training staff and coaches or whatever, they drove.
They bussed.
Oh, God.
Bussed to San Jose. They got there 6 minutes before the game.
Oh, my God.
6 minutes. Now, the players and, you know, Dutch and his main coaches flew up, and they got there a few hours before. Yeah. But the rest of the staff didn't get there until 6 minutes before the game. And they won by 29. They won by 29 points. You know, and San Diego State's really one of the only teams left that doesn't charter every flight. The good news
is, I did my part by donating.
You did,
to
and the rest of the season, apparently, they're going to charter almost at least one of the legs of almost all of their remaining games. So they've saved all their limited charters for the rest of the year, and that should help going forward for the Aztecs. And they were able to overcome the travel difficulties. For the most part, the only loss was that weird home one to Utah State, who's not, that's not a bad loss. Utah State's top 30 in the net, and they're, have only lost one all season. By the way, to UCSD, who continues to roll, yep. They've won 11 in a row. They're up in the 40s now in net. Like, that's at large territory, at this point for UCSD. Probably won't stay because the Big West schedule's not, strong enough to keep their metrics up, but they're having a phenomenal season and are certainly a contender to make the NCAA tournament as well. So you did have a lot of college basketball going on while we were on our break.
A lot of football, Benny. A lot of football as well. I've just been waiting for hour and 53 minutes for one word of congratulations or I was wrong. I'm
to your
an idiot.
Notre Dame fighting
yeah,
Irish.
Obviously, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't predict that they were going to lose
I
any
feel
of
like
that.
Congratulations.
Did.
Thank you, Paulie. Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
I was rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
That was a fun couple games there.
You know, you guys saw the bet that I made with Adam. I can't make fun of Adam Klug for a whole month.
Oh, boy.
It was one of the dumber bets I've ever made. I can't make fun of him. So I'm going to be charting a list of things I want to make fun of him for, and on February 1st, I'll just unload that list. But I can't even talk badly about Adam Klug. He's a Georgia fan. And got worked pretty good the other night.
I mean, they did have a backup quarterback.
Oh, it's Georgia. I was told. I was told if you're an SEC quarterback, you could start in the NFL. That, I'm just telling you what I've heard over the many, many years of following along with Georgia. I mean, they still had Travis Etienne. They had a lot more healthy players than the Notre Dame Fighting Irish did, that's for sure.
What we do know is that we're down to the college football semifinals that will be this week, Thursday.
Final four.
And Friday.
Oh, my God.
The final four.
Oh, my
so
God.
We can talk a little college football in our next hour. We will also have our new time for Take on Woods, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. And Sammy Levitt going to join us in our 8 o'clock
Superstar.
Hour as well. All coming up here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.